Good morning. This weekend always goes much too quickly, but very, very thankful the Lord has been pleased to grace us with his presence and his power Friday night and Saturday, and the fellowship's been sweet, and very, very hopeful that he will do that again for us today. Looking forward to that. If you'd like to open your Bibles with me, I'd like to read a passage of Scripture from Isaiah chapter 40. Very familiar passage. One that we have experienced. The Lord is speaking. The Lord is speaking to his prophets and telling them to declare a message of comfort for his people. And that's what we've heard, and that's what we'll hear by God's grace again today. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, and here's the comfort, that her warfare is accomplished. What the Lord Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross was an accomplished work of redemption, putting away the sins of his people once and for all by the sacrifice of himself. And tell her also that her iniquity is pardoned. All her sin has been taken away. Separated from her as far as the east is from the west. That God remembers them no more. And that she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. What's the double blessing? God has made him sin. That's the first blessing. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the second blessing. That's the double portion, isn't it? The Lord has taken away our guilt and given to us Christ's righteousness. Now skip down with me to verse 6. And the voice said, cry. And the prophet said, where do I begin this message? What do I say? How do I introduce this message of comfort? Tell them they're grass. That'd be a good place for to start. Tell them that they've got nothing, they can do nothing, they don't know anything, they're completely dependent upon me for everything. God's people like to hear that. They like to be taken away. Any responsibility in terms of their salvation. Tell them they're grass. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. If the Spirit of God blows upon us, we will come to that conclusion that we're but grass. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up to the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up. Be not afraid. Perfect love casteth out fear. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, come to Christ. Behold your God. That's just another way of God, the Lord saying, behold your God. Look to Christ. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand. The Lord Jesus Christ is the strong right hand of God. And his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. The only one that can enter into the presence of God by presenting his work ahead of himself to recommend himself to God was the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. He shall. He delights in showing mercy, loves his children, provides all that they need. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer, please? Our merciful and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we But come into thy holy presence, knowing, Lord, that we have no right in and of ourselves, but we have full acceptance in the glorious person and accomplished work of thy dear Son. Lord, we thank you for the gift of faith. We thank you for the spirit of worship. We thank you for rending the heavens and coming down and visiting with us this weekend. And oh Lord, how hopeful we are that we might experience that again this morning. Thank you for Donnie and Todd. Pray, Lord, you give them liberty to speak. Pray that Christ be exalted. And Lord, we know that the real miracle of preaching is in the hearing. And so we ask that you would unstop our ears, that you would tender our hearts, that you would enable us to look upon Christ, to believe on him, and to rest all our hope in him. For it's in his name we ask it. Amen. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Number 222, Tom's going to come lead us. Number 222.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though foul as he, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more, be saved to sin no more, be saved to sin no more, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Ere since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing the
Please be seated. Turn now to hymn number 125, 125 in the same hymn book, Jesus Paid It All, number 125.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy strength and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Matt and Allison Vincent are going to bring special music now. Matt and Allison, please come.
Sure, never. was felt, and on the guilt, and plunged me in despair.
That beautiful. Genesis 24. Shirley and I was talking last night. Staying with Greg and Trish in their home, and Todd and Lynn, and then being able to come here and worship and meet new people I've never met, and new brothers and sisters, and be with those that I've known for years. It does not get any better than this. Not on this earth. It does not get any better than this. This is a little foretaste of what we're going to have. I wish it could go on and on and on. One of these days it will. But it just does not get any better than this. It doesn't. It just doesn't. It just doesn't. All right, Genesis 24. I'm going to talk about a bride for the son. God chose a bride. God sought a bride. And God found a bride. For his blessed son. Let me read these first six verses, and then I'll start. Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant says unto him, peradventure, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must not needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son there again. Here in this chapter, which a lot of folks just see as an historical story, we have one of the fullest revelations of God's electing grace and power for the bride of Christ, for his people, the sinner, and how that sinner's brought to the bridegroom. Now let me say this. Abraham, first of all, is a type of the Father, God our Father. Isaac is the type of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Eleazar, the servant, is a type of the Holy Spirit. And of course, Rebekah is a type of the sinner that the servant goes after and brings her all the way back till she's married, joined to Christ. And let me say this, that the first thing is that it was the Father's purpose to have a bride. It's the Father's purpose. Look here in verse 4. It's the Father's will and purpose. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. You see, it was God's will, God's purpose, and it originated with him. The bride didn't know anything about it. She had never heard anything yet. But God, you know, the scriptures tells us, as I've purposed, so shall it come to pass. I declared the end from the beginning. And from ancient times the things are not yet but done, and all my pleasure and all my counsel shall stand. God works all things after the counsel of his own will. And let me quote a verse to you that God taught me the gospel from. I mean, taught me the gospel from. God, who from the beginning has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his eternal purpose, which was given us in Christ Jesus. When did that happen? Before the world began. So I'll tell you what, God said, listen, I've got a son, and I want a bride for him. I want a bride for him. And I tell you what, so he sent this man. And look what else he said about it. Thou shalt go unto my country. My country. The earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof. So, you know, and he's got people out of every country, kindred, tribe, and tongue. But he says, you go to my country. The earth is his in the fullness thereof. Cattle on 1,000 hills belong to him. And look what else he said. And go to my kindred. Go to my kindred. We've always been God's people. And here's the thing. This bride has no idea what's going on. This is just the Father just telling what he wills and what he purposed and what he has in store for somebody. But he said, go to my kindred. We've always been the Lord's people. Paul says, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Huh? Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah, before you was ever formed in the belly, I knew you and ordained you to be a prophet. Henry Mahan told me years ago when I first met him, and I tell you what, I knew just enough about the gospel to be dangerous. And he told me this, you know, and I told him my experience and start off in Pentecostalism and all the things that I went through and all that. He said, and this is what verse, he quoted that verse to me. He says, you know, God, he said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And he said, that's the way it was with you. God, before he formed you in his belly, but he brought you one way to bring you to himself. Now, I tell you what, we may go around the barn 14 times and everything that's under the sun, but I'll tell you one thing, he's going to be brought to him because we belong to him. Ain't that right? For whom he did foreknow. Foreloved. What's he known for? I'll call him. I'll go call him. And so go to my country. And I tell you, I'm in God's country. Wherever I'm at, I'm in God's country. I remember one time, when I first moved to Tennessee, I was outside an old country store. Big old beautiful mountains out in front of me. And I stood out there and I said, boy, my father owns every bit of that. This fella run the store standing there by me. And he said, oh, no, 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 no. Said, I know the fellas own all that land over there. I said, no, no, no. My father owns it all. And he finally understood what I was talking about. But now look at the son's position. We see the father's will and purpose. But look at the son. I go down here in verse 35. Look at the son. Look at the son's position. Now this is the Eliezer speaking. The Lord hath blessed my master greatly. And he has become great. And he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men service, maid service, camels and asses. And listen to this now. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. Now listen to this. And unto him hath he given all that he has. He's given everything to the... You know, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hands. The Father sought everything for the Son. The Son is, the Father's purpose is fulfilled in the Son. Daniel said this, he said, I saw one, like unto the Ancient of Days, he was brought forth and stood before a great throne, and unto him was given everlasting power and dominion forever and ever and ever. And it pleased the Father that in Christ, in his blessed Son, should all fullness dwell. And you know what? He said, you are complete in him who's the head of all principalities and powers. I want you to see something with me over here in Colossians. Look in Colossians chapter 1. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, God turned everything over to his Son. And the Father sought all for his Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He does always those things that please me. He was with me before the foundations of the world. But look here what it says in verse 16 of Colossians chapter 1. I want you to notice this. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and earth, whether you can see them or not see them, whether it be a throne or whether it be a dominion, whether it be principalities, whether it be powers, all things were created by him and for him. You notice that? By him, for him, because of him. It's him. You know how many times he said him here? And listen, he is before all things, before everything ever was, he was. And now, after everything is, everything that exists and consists is by him. Huh? It is by him. And look what he says. He's the head of the body, who's the beginning. Beginning of the church. The beginning of everything. The firstborn from the dead. In all things, he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And I tell you what, beloved. God spoke in the last days by prophets and sons, but not now he speaks by the Son. If God's going to speak to me or speak to you, he's going to speak to us through his Son. And if we're going to speak to God and have anything to say to God, we're going to have to come to the Son. Ain't that right? Ain't that right? Now look at the bride. Look at the bride now. Go back over here in Genesis. Look at the bride. Now, her prospect. She's got a prospect, and she don't know what in the world's going on. She don't even know. She don't know Abraham. She don't know nothing about the Son. She don't know anything. She's just living. And he says, go unto my country and take a wife unto my son. And before she knew it, she is to be the bride of the Son. She's going to be a joint heir with the blessed Son. And this bride was afar off, far off, in another country, another country. And I tell you what, beloved, we were so far off from God that we could not find our way back. We didn't even know the direction to go. People say, how do you get to God? You don't get to God. God comes to you. You don't get to God. He comes to where you are. And the bride was afar off in another country. And I tell you what, and the scriptures tells us that he chose us in Christ. And we were so far off and we didn't know it. We didn't know we was going to be chosen of God. We didn't know we was God's elect until he made us know it. But according as he hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And like our Lord Jesus Christ said, all that the Father gives me. And this is the bride now. All that the Father gives me. He said, I want a bride. Shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I shall in no wise cast out. And when our Lord Jesus prayed, talking about the bride being far off, he said, I pray not for the world. I've got nothing to say about the world. I pray for them that thou hast given me out of the world. Huh? And our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, a man has a lost sheep. What does he do for that lost sheep? He looks and he looks and he looks until he finds it. You read about the shepherd, and he finds that lost sheep. It's lost. It's lost. The sheep's lost. And when he's found that lost sheep, he lays it on his shoulder and he brings it all the way home. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he prays for us before we ever was. And he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. For one particular type of person. For one person. For all these people that are sheep. And he says, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself and I take it up of myself. And beloved, I tell you what, this bride, her prospect, she had never heard nothing yet. This going on between the Father and the servant, the Holy Spirit. This is going on between two people. And as Eve was in Adam, when God created him, we were in Christ from the foundation of the world. That's one of the most, did you know that when God brought you to him? Did you understand all this stuff? Did you understand that you were in Christ before the foundation of the world? Did you understand that Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world? Did you have any clue that one day that God would cross your path with the gospel? Cross your path with the Holy Spirit? Cross your path with the gospel preacher? Well, this woman don't know nothing either. Somebody had to tell her. But now look here. Here comes the servant now. He's got something to say. He's got something to say. And the servant, first of all, he said there in verse 5, just maybe that woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Well, she's not willing. Well, she's not willing. And then he goes on to say this. God, do I need to bring your son back into the land? Abraham said, don't you bring my son down there. And that's one of the things that you can tell whether it's the Spirit of God preaching or it's another spirit. Is because another spirit will bring Christ down to accommodate man. They'll bring him down. Old Barnard used to say, they'll start him out, auction him off for a dollar. You can have Jesus on these many terms. And if nobody will accept him, they'll bring him down to 50 cents. And if they can't get you to take him for 50 cents, they'll bring him down to a dime. But whatever you do, please, 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 somebody be a lady or a gentleman for Jesus, and please let him have his way with you. Jesus loves you so much and he cannot stand the fact that you won't have him. Please come. And And you know what? The father said, whatever you do, don't bring my son down. You go get there and bring him to me. I ain't going nowhere. Somebody else is going to do the work. And here's the thing about it. If a man can accept the Lord and can open his heart, will somebody please tell me how that's done? How do you open your heart? How's that done? Is there doors on it you open? I'll tell you how God did it to me. He raised up his foot, boom! Boom! And I said, thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. But look what the Spirit did. First of all, he had authority in the house. Look in verse 2. He had authority. God gave him the authority. The Father gave him the authority. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant, now listen to this, that ruled over all that he had, put thy hand under my thigh, and I pray thee, I'll make you swear by the Lord God of heaven and earth that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanite. Don't you get them around here. No, no, no. I got a special place. I've got a special person, and I've got a special person that's going to go after him. First of all, he had authority in the house. And then he was sent by the Father. He is sent by Abraham. He didn't come of his own will. He didn't come of his own accord. The Holy Spirit came and was sent by God to do a work. There's three persons in our salvation. God chose us. Christ died for us. And the Holy Spirit applies what Christ did in God's purpose in us. And I tell you what, and he was sent in the name of the Son. Go down in my Son and get us wife for my Son. I want a wife for my son. I don't want one for me. I want one for him. And he was sent in the name of the Son. And the Holy Spirit, when he came, he said that he shall not speak of himself, but he shall take the things of mine and shall show them unto you. And that's what he does. And then look over here in chapter 32, or verse 32, excuse me. And he declared the Father's purpose. You know, he don't know how this is going to, you know, he goes down there and he has to go to a certain place. One thing I tell you he didn't do, he didn't go down through the streets of wherever he was at when he went down there where now of Caldy. But he didn't go down through there. Listen, my master's looking for a bride. Anybody around here want to get married? Listen, line up here, and I'll see if I can find one fit enough, good enough, pretty enough, worthy enough, capable. No, no, he is sent in the name of the Son. You go get somebody for my son. And look what he said here in verse 32. Well, they took him into Laban's house. He got down there and he said, Lord, if there's whoever is for my son's, my master's wife, let her be at this certain place and do a certain thing. Well, it happened. Well, they went in the house and they took him in. In verse 32, and the man came into the house, the servant did. He ungirded his camels, gave straw and provender for the camels, water to wash his feet, and the men that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I've told mine errand. I've got one purpose to be here, one message to say, one thing to do. I don't want to eat. I don't want to do nothing. I've got a message for you. I've got a message for you. And he said, well, go ahead and tell it. I'm here on an errand. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. And I tell you, this is a covenant, and he has blessed him greatly. And I tell you this, he said he gave him great flocks, silver, herd, gold, men's servants, maid servants. And my sister Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him hath he given all that he hath. He got everything that belongs to the, everything the father has now belongs to the son. And listen to what he goes on to say. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanite in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred and to my wife and take a wife unto my son. He told him just exactly what the father told him to say. He didn't say no more. He didn't say any less. And he told the father's purpose. And he did not speak of himself. That's one thing you know that Pentecostals and people like that, the Holy Spirit, they say you got to have speaking in tongues and all that to have evidence of the Holy Spirit. But I tell you what, the Holy Spirit, all he ever speaks of is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing he ever deals with is this word. He makes Christ to be the issue. Not heaven and hell, Christ and sin to be the issue. And he did not say no more than what the Father told him to say. He did not say any more than what he said about his blessed Son, that he's got everything that the Father has, the Son has. And then look what he done down in verse 53. He got Rebekah there. It said in verse 51, behold, Rebekah's before thee. Take her and go and let her be thy master's son. The Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard these words, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Now look what this servant did. He took and revealed some of the things of Isaac's wealth and Isaac's glory. And he brought forth jewels of silver. Silver in the scriptures speaks of redemption. Always speaks of redemption. And then he says, and then he gave her jewels of gold. And gold speaks of the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Gold. Pure gold. Wondrous gold. And then look what else he gave to her. And then he gave her raiment. Gave her something to be dressed in. Christ, that's what the Holy Spirit tells us, that I've got some clothes for you to wear. What you got on is filthy rags. What you got on is rotten. What you got on is corrupt. What you got on is, with everything you got on, you're still naked. So he brought forth him raiment and said, here's you. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. Said, I've got a righteousness. And I'll put that righteousness, I'll cover you with that righteousness. And I've got a beautiful garment here. And I tell you, any of y'all ever read Bunyan's Progress? When Bunyan and Christian, or Faithful and Christian, was on their way, and Christian met Faithful, and they met at the cross, and those shining ones came and put those garments on them. And those garments, that righteousness they put on him. And Christian looked at Faithful and he looked at him and said, oh my, what a beautiful garment you got on. I never saw, oh, it's so beautiful. He couldn't see his. And that's the way we are. We can't see ours, but we can surely see it in somebody else. He said, well, you got one like it. But oh my. To have this glorious righteousness of Christ, to be redeemed by his blessed blood, for him, God, to come down and do something for us and then clothe us with his own righteousness, clothe us with his own precious glory. And then he said in verse 53 there, he said, and he gave them to Rebekah. You notice that? Gave them to her. Oh boy. She didn't say, well, what's your master worth? Has he got anything you reckon he can take care of me? Make me a good living? He gave it to her. And I tell you what, look what happens now. He gives her the message. They tried to not let her go. But he said, look at the power of this message. After he told her about the son and showed her all the wealth that they had and talked about the blessed son. And look what happens now in verse 58. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, And they called Rebekah, and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I'll go. You remember Abraham said, well, suppose she's not willing. Well, she's not willing. Are you willing to go? Yeah, I'll go. After you told me about the son and all his glory, all his wealth and the father, and all these jewels you gave me, this raiment you put on me, told me how beautiful he is, how glorious he is, how precious he is, how delightful he is, told me about his character, told me about his person, and oh my, and I tell you what she's not willing. I tell you, in the day of his power, his people are made willing. And I tell you one thing right now, I've been willing from the first day he made me willing. I'm still willing. I'm willing. I'm willingly here. Are you anybody here because they don't want to be here? We're here willingly. We come to hear the gospel willingly. And Chris, we bow to the Lord Jesus Christ willingly every day of our lives, don't we? Yes, sir. We willingly. Oh, my. Lord, if there's any resistance in me, take it away. And I look forward to the day when he takes his flesh and puts his foot on it and says, that's the last day you're going to have anything ever to deal with it again. Oh, listen. It attracted her. There was no pleading with her. There was no begging with her. He just showed her all that glory and all that wealth and all that preciousness. And she said, you be willing? Yep. No, he didn't have to beg her. Didn't have to plead with her. Didn't give her no cards to sign. Didn't have to enter into a prenuptial agreement. You know, I was performed a wedding one time, and the woman told me before we were doing the wedding, she said, now listen, when it says you come to the part with all my worldly goods thy endow, said, now leave that out. She said, because he ain't got anything. All he had was a pickup truck, fishing poles, and a gun, and his clothes. But she had a great big house, lots of money, and she said, don't say that because I ain't fixing to him to get everything I got. Well, now listen, I'm like her. I've got no worldly goods to endow the Lord Jesus Christ with. When he entered into a covenant with me, saved me by his grace, I didn't have nothing. I didn't even have the pickup truck. I don't have anything. Nothing. What in the world could I bring? What was Rebekah going to bring to this wedding? What was Rebekah going to bring to give to Isaac? So when he entered in this marriage covenant with us, you know what he did? He never even asked us if we had anything. He didn't ask her. He said, just started giving it to her. Just started giving things to her. And that's what he does. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places are in Christ. He just gives and gives and gives and gives and gives. And I tell you what, he just keeps on giving and keeps on giving, and I just keep on taking. I haven't got anything that wasn't given to me. And I'm going to say this. I don't have a home, but he gave it to me. I don't have a wife, but that he gave it to me. I don't have any money, but what he provided. I have nothing in this world that I can say belongs to me. I always have to attribute everything to God. I cannot attribute anything that I've got to any effort or anything on my own. I really can't. I'm serious about that. I'm not making it up. I'm not trying to be pious. I'm telling you. But he just pleaded a proclamation to her. And that's why Christ is the wisdom and power of God unto us. It was the goodness and the glory of the Father and the Son. Oh, my. And look what happens back up here in 55, verse 55. Oh, they tried to get her not to go. You know, that's why it says, you know, we inquire not after flesh and blood. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. And after that she shall go. Oh, honey, don't go. Don't go. Don't go down there where they preach grace. Don't go down there where they believe in election and total depravity. Don't go down there. You know, where them folks there said, ain't nothing I've got but what Christ. That's all I've got. And she said, oh my, please don't stay with us. Don't go. And he said unto them, now this is what the service is, what the Holy Ghost said. He said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered me in my way. The Holy Spirit, wherever he goes, he's going to bring people to Christ. He's going to bring them now. I've said this a lot of times. I said, if God don't get you by the nape of the neck, you ain't coming. I mean, he's got to reach and get a hold of you. Yeah, I'm serious. I know that's so. He's got to come and lay hold on you. And that's what this man said. Don't hinder me. I've got to go. I've got to go back to my master. And they said, well, we'll just ask her. We'll just ask her. And then they said, will you go with this man? Oh, I'll go, I'll go, I'll go, I'll go, I'll go. Oh, they ever tried to get her to stay, but she is ready to go. And beloved, God makes us ready, makes us willing, makes us come with everything we can. And she left everything behind. She left everything behind. What in the world could she take with her? And why did she do it? Because of the glory that was revealed to her. Because of the riches of the Son. And there's nobody more wealthy than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got riches of glory. He's got riches of grace. And God's put everything in this universe into his blessed hands. Huh? And she trusted everything to Abraham's promise when she went back to where Isaac was, where the son was. Now look what happens down here in verse, 60, starting back in verse 61. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels, and followed the man's servant, took Rebekah, and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening time. And he lifted up his eyes, and he saw something. Huh? And behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she jumped off that camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. It's my master. This is your husband. This is the one he's been talking about. That's him. That's him. John the Baptist, you know, he said that Peter and them was following him, Andrew and them was following him, said, there's the Lamb of God, look at him. And oh my, and look what happens now. And the servant said, it's my master. Therefore she took a veil. Oh, she bowed down herself. Oh my, we're and the servant told Isaac all things he had done. Now listen to this now. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. Now look what it says here now. See, she saw Isaac coming, found everything that she needed in her life in him. And look what it said. And Isaac loved her. They saw one another for the first time. But it was the Father's will and purpose to go out there and get that woman, get that blessed bride. And they come up there, and the first time they saw Isaac, oh, he loved her, and she loved him. First love at first sight. And ain't that the way it is? Ain't that the way it is? Love at first sight. Isaac loved her. And thy Lord Jesus Christ said this about his people. In John 17:24, he said this. And this is what our prospect is as the bride of Christ. Our prospect is, our Lord Jesus Christ said and prayed and said, Father, I will that those who thou hast given me may be with me and behold my glory forever. You reckon that will's going to be done? Quicker, sooner than later. That's a prayer that Christ that's answered every single day, every time some believer goes to glory. And one of these days, I've seen his glory here, and I can't wait to see what it's like there. That's the only reason I want to go to heaven, for Christ. People say, I want to see mom and daddy and all that, but I tell you what, there's nobody in heaven that knows a thing in the world's going down there. Husbands ain't going to know wives. Wives don't know husbands. Never know anything about them once they leave this place. There's one thing that we're interested in leaving this world. To go be with him who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen? Amen. Lord bless you.
Thank you, Donnie. This whole world exists for one reason: Christ saving his people, bringing his church to himself. I was thinking about the story of Ziba being sent by David to fetch Mephibosheth. What a picture. Yeah. Fetching grace. Thank you, Donnie. That was a great, great blessing. We're going to sing number 224. Okay, 226. All right. 326. I'm sorry. All right. Let's stand together. Number 326.